In this season of time, we are now in December and we're talking about Christmas, we're talking about outreaches, we're talking about nursing homes, we're talking about home outreaches, we're talking about different events that we're hosting, doing, evangelizing. It's a season of time where we are, well, Christians, for non-Christians alike, is a very busy time of the year. Do you agree with me? Christmas is always a very busy time of the year. But I want to talk to you about staying in tune in this Christmas season. Staying in, say with me, staying in tune in this Christmas season. As we get busier, all the more we have to stay in tune with God. All right? We're going to be busy eating. We're going to be busy going out. We're going to be busy meeting family, or some of us are going to be busy getting married and things like that. Just saying. You know, but in the midst of that, how do we stay focused? I think Adrian shared something very, very good this morning as he said, you know, we often say Jesus is the reason for the season. But for us who are proclaiming it, do we somehow lose the touch out of this, or have we lost the sense or the tune of this statement? Is Jesus the reason for the season even for us, or are we just busy proclaiming it? So I want to talk about Christmas. Now, this season, when you think about the Christmas season and the Christmas stories, tell me, who do you think about in the Bible? Mary, keep going. Jesus, baby Jesus. And then what else? The shepherds, the wise men, the angels. Okay, that's pretty good, right? Maybe we can say Elizabeth, Zechariah, and so on and so forth, all right? And that's true. Now, I'm going to talk about some of them, but probably two that we don't talk very much about. I'll get there in a moment, okay? But let me start by saying this. In the Bible, in the book of Daniel chapter 9, there is a remarkable prophecy called the 70 weeks prophecy. Now, I'm not here to talk about the 70 weeks prophecy. You can find videos on our website where I talk about, in this particular video, I talk about the 70 weeks prophecy. We talk about the purpose and what and how it's fulfilled and all that. You can check it out on our website. But the whole thing about it is that this prophecy was a revelation of the Messiah. And it was, in a nutshell, all right, without going into any of the details, it was basically God's calendar. God was giving us a timeline of the manifestation of the Messiah in His first coming and in His second coming, all right? And so He was giving us His appointed times, basically. All right, and so in studying this prophecy, we realize that the timing of the first coming of Jesus was actually found in this prophecy. So it's right there in the Old Testament. The Bible contains many prophecies about the Messiah, about the Christ who is to come. And so having said this, you know, let's talk about in the Christmas stories, as we talk about, let me show you four people here we're going to talk about first. We're very familiar with Zacharias, Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, baby Jesus and all of that. But on top of that, I also want to talk about Simeon and Anna. You heard of these two people? All right, so Simeon and Anna. Don't usually hear much about them, but I want to talk about them. I want to talk about how in the Christmas season, now remember, these people were involved when Jesus had just been born, or Jesus was being circumcised, being, you know, all the rituals of the temple he was going. Jesus was a baby just born. And so these people were involved. But what I want to share, what was so special about these is that these four people in that then what we call now Christmas, but in that sort of nativity, that season when Jesus was born, these people had a connection with God that when Jesus appeared, they didn't miss it. They were engaged with what the Holy Spirit was doing. While everyone else, the religious order of the day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and everyone else, you know, was caught up in a, you know, in religion, in doing church, in all these things. Not church, but, you know, faith and practices and all these things they did. When the Messiah came, they didn't pick it up the way these people were involved in it and how they picked it up. You say, can you understand what I'm saying here? So in the same way, I'm talking about we're here in this Christmas season. We want to be like these four people who in the midst of that season, they were able to be alert and pick up the prompting of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. So let's look at these four people. How was it? Because remember, when the Messiah came, when Jesus was born, was it prophesied in the Scriptures? Yes. Some picked it up, some didn't pick it up. When Jesus eventually grew up and ministered as the Messiah, some accepted it, some did not accept it. Do you understand what I'm trying to get at here? Is that how do we pick it up? How do we engage? That's what I want to talk about. How, and then we're going to look at what it means for us in this Christmas season, how, what we can learn from these people in this time. So let me go and look at, let's look at Zechariah. We're going to read a few Bible verses here, okay? All right, so let's do that together. We're going to read a bit together here. In Luke chapter 1, verse 5 to 13. So you're going to help me read. We're going to read it alternatively, right? So verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. According to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense, and when he went into the temple of the Lord, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Now, I hope that you pick up the words in bold or colored and so on and so forth. The altar of incense, Old Testament thing they did, speaks of prayer, by the way. What can we learn? A few points, okay? I'm just going to list here. As we look at each of these characters, they're probably messages in themselves. So let whatever bit ministers to you, pick up and hold on to it, okay? There's a lot of pointers here this morning. So just pick up those seeds as we go along those. So what can we learn about Zechariah? He was righteous before God. He was walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. What do we know about him? I'm just giving a key light here. He was advanced. Together with Elizabeth, they were advanced in years, meaning they were old. They served as priests, or he served as priest, sorry, Zechariah, to burn incense in the temple, meaning it's to do with prayer, okay? Now we're going to look at, so far, are you with me so far? So can you pick up, what are some things? They're advanced in years. I hope this is speaking already to some of you. They were walking, sorry, you're young, you're not old, okay? You're not old, you're advanced in years, okay, let's put it this way. Okay? Look who's saying amen. You're barely a teen. No. All right. We're going to look at Mary and Joseph now. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. Let's do the same thing here. Now in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city Galilee named Nazareth. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now we're going to jump to verse 34 to 38. I'm going to skip a few lines here. But basically, he announces that, you know, you shall bear a son and you shall call in his name Jesus. All right? And so on and so forth. Verse 34, you read. I'm not married. You know, I'm not known a man. I've not had such relationship. How can I be pregnant? And the angel answers in verse 35 and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God." Okay, she's not just advanced in years, she's old as well, okay? So sorry. For with God, verse 37, nothing will be impossible. So what do we know about Mary? Number one, she's a virgin, all right? And she would have been a very young girl. I think probably, 16, they say? Somewhere around there, anyway. She was a young girl. Just imagine a young girl, you know, giving birth. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. What do we know? The Holy Spirit will come upon her and the highest will overshadow us. The Holy Spirit would do a work upon her life. And what did she say? Let it be done to me according to your word. This is what we know about her. In that moment, what do we learn about her? She agreed with the word of God, in other words. Okay, let's look at, are you picking up some thoughts here already? Where I'm heading with that? What can we learn from those people who picked up when Jesus was to be born, when God was moving upon the earth and was going to birth forth something? Who were the ones who picked it up and who were instrumental to bring them forth? These are the people. Now, let's go to the next person here. We're going to go to a man called Simeon. Everybody say Simeon. Simeon. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 33. Let's read it. And let's do the same thing. I'll start. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." Sounds familiar? Mary said, "Let it be done according to your word." She says, "Now according to your words." Verse 30. Which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things and were spoken, which were spoken of him. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Maybe revealed. Okay, what can we learn about this man called Simeon? Okay. He was just and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The things were revealed and by the Spirit, and he also acted by the Spirit. He came to the temple by the Spirit, it says. And what does it say? According to the word. Very similar. Let it be done according to your word. According to your word now. And what else did he do? He prophesied. He was able to speak things. What would the Messiah do? The rising of many and the falling of many and how Mary's heart would be pierced and things like that. Okay? So what we learned? Just devout. He was waiting. What does that mean? He was expecting something. He was waiting eagerly. Waiting, expectation, looking for that comfort, looking for something. So I hope these are striking certain thoughts here in your mind, in my mind, in this Christmas season. What sort of attitude should we have? Are we saying, "Let it be done according to your word"? Are we being led by the Spirit? Are we moving by the Spirit? Are we able to see the salvation of God as Simeon beheld Jesus in his arms? Let's look at the last person here, Anna. Anna, a woman, okay? In Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 38, let me begin. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, something about age today, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him and all those who look for redemption in Jerusalem. So remember, when this is happening, Jesus, after 8 days was being taken into the temple to do the laws of purification as prescribed in the law of Moses. And here you find Simeon, and here you find Anna. These people are there engaging and recognizing the Messiah. Can you say amen? What can we learn about this person's life, Anna's life? She's a prophetess. All right, we have women prophet. Number two, she was of great age, 84 years of old. She stayed in the temple. What does the temple speak about? God's dwelling place, God's house, right? She served God. Now, how did she serve God? In fastings and prayers. We just had a time of fasting and prayer. We trust that as we go through these seasonal periods of prayer throughout the year, that you and I, as believers in this church, will begin to engage in this manner in serving God in fastings and prayers. Can you say amen? Don't miss opportunities. This is what we're talking about here. How do we stay focused? What did she do? She also spoke of Jesus to the people. All right, now, I've said many things here, made many points, and so many things you can take from each of these persons' life. But what was it about them that was different in that season of time? What should be and what ought to be different for us in this season of time? Everybody is busy with church services, church activities, outreach, this, that, dinner, family, here and there. But in the midst of that, how can we be like these people, at least, I'm just naming a few here, those people who were able to engage with the Spirit of God? Let me give you 3 points, all right? I'm going to be very brief, and then we're going to pray. Number one, how do we stay alert? Now, first of all, that I want to mention to you, how can we stay in tune, is look at their age. Say with me, their age. Their age, meaning those involved, the lives we looked at, they were both young and old. Mary was a very young girl, very young woman, girl. We call her a girl, I guess. But she was ready when the angel came to her. We have people like Anna, 84 years of old, Elizabeth and Simeon being advanced in years. Simeon, all right? He says, let me see that God said you will see the Messiah before he died. But their age was irrelevant. It didn't matter whether they were young, small, in between, all right, or old. They were ready. So I want to say to you this morning, regardless of our age, this message is for us. You and I can make a difference, not because of our age. When we stand before God, our age is not going to be there. We're not going to argue, well, I was too young. No. Jesus began to be about the Father's business of what? How old? 12. Okay? Imagine Mary being that young and bringing forth the Messiah. I mean, 16 years of age. I could hardly look after myself. You know, and now this, you know, this girl, Mary, young girl, is about to give birth. The enormous responsibilities that comes with that. So, do you agree with me this morning? Some of you are young, you're small. Some are teenagers, some are young adults. Some are a bit more advanced in years. But like Caleb, he says, Lord, give me at his old age. He said, God, give me this mountain. Can you say amen? Amen. We can learn this is their age. Whether you're old, young, or whatever in between, you and I can stay in tune like these people. We don't want to miss when God is doing something just because we're going to say, well, I've done enough and now my time is over. Well, many of us may say, you know, with Elizabeth and Zechariah, well, I think your time is over, your season with God is over. Just chill. Why do you even bother, you know, serving in the temple as priests? Just leave it to the young people to do it. Or, you know, hey, you're too old to give birth and so it's impossible. Don't think about that. You're dreaming too much here. And this is the attitude we can have. Let's be honest. Is that right? And for the young people, likewise, I'm too young. But God says to Jeremiah, you know, he called him. Don't say you're too young. All right? In Christ. We have to avail ourselves to Christ. Number two, So we looked at their age, number one. Number two, their alertness. Their alertness. I'm just going to bring like maybe one point from each of these four people we looked at. Okay, Zechariah, he was walking with God and burning incense. He was a man of prayer. He was walking with God and a man of prayer. How can we be alert, stay, walk with God, and stay in a place of prayer, stay in a place of communion, of not only talking to God, but receiving from God? What about Mary? What can we learn? What a sort of highlight we can take from her is she was in agreement with God's word. Are we in agreement with God's word in this season? Are we in touch with God's word, or are we too busy for God's word? Three, Simeon. Simeon was a man of the Holy Spirit. It was revealed to him by the Spirit. He came to the temple by the Spirit. Are we relating with the Holy Spirit as a person? Are we being filled daily by the Holy Spirit? Number four, Anna. She served God. How did she serve God? Ushering. I mean, please, no offense to the ushers here, but I'm just saying, so sometimes we use the term, we're serving God, but we don't realize that the ultimate service is our service unto the Lord in our priestly ministry, not church services, which is needed, which is very good, which is appreciated, which is needed, and all of these things. We're not putting that down in any way, but sometimes we can take that and put that above the things that comes first. All right, so we must understand that when we talk about serving the Lord, we're not just saying, you know, do the computer work or play the instrument or that. Yes, it's good, but we're talking about something more than just that. It's our service in fastings and prayer in worship. Now, these are the key points we can learn from these people. So in that season of time when God was moving, did they miss it? No. But who were the ones who missed it? The Pharisees. We can go back to the old picture there. The Pharisees were the one who missed it. All right? The Pharisees, the scribes, and what else? The lawyers, these are the people, and the Sadducees as well, another group of people. They were the ones who interpreted the law, the scribes. They were the teachers of the law. They were the rabbis. They were the teachers. They interpreted what the Bible meant. They were very devout. They were fasting, praying, and dressing in a certain way, acting in a certain way, keeping all the rituals, doing all the church thing, doing all the religious things that was required of God. But when the Messiah came, when the Spirit of God was moving in that season, what we call Christmas, some picked it up. God was able to move and use them. God was able to reveal things to them. But to others, they didn't pick it up. In fact, if we study the book of Daniel, we would see that if those who studied the prophecy of the 70 weeks had really been in touch with the Spirit, when Jesus came, they would have recognized that this was the time the Messiah was to come. But they missed it completely. So I want to ask the question here this morning. Are we alert to what God is doing in this season? And I'm saying in this season because a lot of us, including myself, are busy with Christmas stuff. But we can be like the Pharisees doing all the church things, all the Christian things, and yet still miss out. Are you following with me so far? So how can we help ourselves to stay alert, walk with God, stay in prayer, agree with God's words, staying in tune with the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, waiting upon God, fasting and prayers? A practical thing we can do is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. This is the commandment, the greatest commandment that God gives to us. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and talk of them." Okay, now let me read this bit, but sorry, this is the important part, okay? "You shall teach them diligently." Say with me, "Teach them diligently." So in the bold part, repeat after me, all right? I'll read the rest. "To your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Amen? So what I'm saying here is, you know, a lot of us are about to engage in lots of dinners, lots of relative things, lots of eating, lots of going out, a lot of partying or whatever you're doing, a lot of activities. What I'm saying is, in this season of time, we've got to purpose in our hearts to constantly practice this. Talk about the Lord. Stay in tune, fellowship, talk about the scriptures, bring up a Bible verse, speak to one another. You say amen? Because it's in that place of eating that we get caught up with other things. And we start talking about everything else except the Lord. So remember, when you're eating in the restaurant, when you're sitting down at home, when you're hanging out with other people, wherever you are, it says you got to keep the word of God. Let it be as front, let it be a sun in your hand and as a frontlet between your eyes. Can we do that? I think this will help us to stay alert in this season. I don't want to miss anything. Do you? Do you know what it feels like to miss a plane? No, because you haven't. Oh, you have? Oh, I don't feel so bad. I have too. Okay. All right. Oh, man. Okay. I don't feel too bad now. Okay. But it's a bad feeling. Yes. Missing a train as well. That's a bad feeling. All right. Especially when it's Hari Raya. You know Hari Raya? Am I saying it right? Yeah? Try doing that on that and then finding your way back to where you need to be. This is Malaysia, by the way. Okay. All right. Last point I want to share with you is, so we talked about their age. So don't look at your age. All of us, this is all for all of us. Don't say I'm too old, too young. Look at their alertness, keeping themselves in the Lord daily, our daily sacrifice, alertness of to the Spirit. And number three, their assignment for the next generation. No, it sounds very GLS, but I had to find another A, so that was the only A I could find. Oh, an arrow. There were arrows as well. Oh, look at the arrow there. Okay, their assignment. Let me try and explain what I mean by that. You see, these people lived in a time when they were still practicing the rituals of the Old Testament. Do you understand what I'm saying so far? They were still, when Jesus was born, even he followed those customs. Are you following with me? All right? He still went to the temple. They also offered the sacrifices for his purification. He still got circumcised as per the requirement of the law. Okay? But these people who were in the old covenant, God moved in such a way and God used them in the old covenant to birth forth or bring forth and make way for the new. It brought forth John the Baptist. Then Mary brought forth Jesus. And Jesus began this new work he was doing and establishing, obviously, the new covenant in his death, burial, and resurrection. But what I'm saying here is that though they were in the old, God was able to use them to make way for the new. You say amen to that? They had an important assignment, an important mandate or an important thing to do. A task. They were called to make way for the future generation. You say amen? So what I'm saying here, how does that relate to us? What we are doing here today, now in this season, or even in life, especially the things that concerns God, do we realize that what we do is not always just for ourselves, but what we're leaving behind for the next generation? Or what we're doing is preparing way for what is to come. That's so important. Can you say amen? So whether you're young or old, God was able to use Elizabeth, old woman. He was able to use Mary, a young woman. But both women, both people, God was able to use them to release the new. So I want to encourage you. What are you and I involved with? Are we in touch with the Spirit of God in this season? Is what we're doing, are we sowing? We may not see results immediately, but what we're doing, if we're following God, that we can leave behind or we can make way for God to open up something even bigger than ever before. And you and I are called to be involved in that. So I want you to, you know, all of us to see that in this Christmas season, it's not just, yay, party, Christmas, and all of that. and we just get caught in the doing of it every year. We want this Christmas to be different. Can you say amen? Let me read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. It says, of this salvation, the prophets. Now, where did the prophets come from? The Old Testament, right? All these prophets, right? Are you following me so far? These prophets, they spoke of this salvation. It says, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully and prophesied of the grace that would come to you. What were they doing? Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand what? The sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. So they're saying here, and the prophets in the Old Testament prophesied about the Messiah and the sufferings he would go through. To them, who is them? The prophets. Can you see the orange? I'm keeping the same color here. The prophets prophesied now. To them what? It was revealed that not to themselves. Say it with me, not to themselves. But to us, they were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who preach the gospel. To you, how? By the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. That's what I'm saying. In the same way how God used those prophets, they ministered, they prophesied, they wrote, God spoke to them, they recorded it, they were looking into it. But it wasn't even for that time. It was for a time in the future. It was for another generation. It was for unto us. It's speaking of us. It was for us. They were ministering, they were working, they were laboring, they were serving God, not to themselves. But now what the gospel that's being preached, in what way? By the Holy Spirit. I want to say that there's a connection with what God is doing in now and what He's about to do. And right now, this period of time, I'm saying it is this, you know, God is going to do greater things, newer things in the sense that God's going to bring about things that we may not have seen yet. Not that it's new, that it's out of His nature, completely out of the blue, but completely out of our frame of reference. Because God's frame of reference is way bigger than us. We don't fully understand how He's going to work it out. But God is preparing us for that. But what we're doing now in this season matters. Because we got to remember, it's not just always just for us, but it's also for the next generation. So when you think about what we're doing, are we wasting our time? Why should I study the Bible? Why should I spend so much time knowing the scriptures? I'm about to, maybe I don't have many years left. Is it important? It is important. It is very important because what we are leaving behind, that's what we got to see. And you say amen? And that's what we want this Christmas season to be different for each one of us. The work that we involve. I look at, this is not flattery, but you got to give honor to where honor is due. But oftentimes it's very overlooked. You look at Auntie Karen, for example. The work that actually goes behind what actually comes in front of us on a Wednesday or Tuesday, whenever you have your life group. Or the transcripts that appear to you on a Sunday morning as we're watching videos. Or when we went through the bait of Satan. Where did those transcripts appear out of, it just happened. Paragraphed, point one, printed, all these things. Where do they come from? It didn't just appear out of thin air. Someone actually worked on this. Someone actually sweated. Well, you don't sweat. I don't know if you can. Maybe the brain will sweat, maybe not physically. Fingers will sweat, typing, printing. I think there's sweat involved, right? Gets hot in the office, I think. All right, so can you understand, but you think, is that a waste of time? I would say it's not a waste of time. Because so many of us, and you agree with me, and we say thank you, right? But what I'm saying is that you and I can be part of something. I think of it. Let me read this last verse and conclude here. In John chapter 4, verse 38, and that was one of the promise that, oftentimes I heard Pastor Joseph say it, and I sort of picked that up, And there's a principle in John chapter 4, verse 38. It says, I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. Of course, it's talking about a harvest of souls here. But in principle, this is also very relevant and very applicable in many ways. And I think of people like Kevin Connor, for example. We've benefited from his books and his teachings, that we have entered into his labors, and many things that we have come to know, many things we have learned to operate in, was out of the labors of what he has done. You know, so now we talk about the book of Daniel, we talk about the book of Revelation, but many years ago when he wrote those books, people, you know, find it difficult to read, and people perhaps don't even find interest, but he said, you know, people don't really want to hear it, but there was, he felt that there will come a time where people, there will be the grace for people to get into this. And so he just said, I'm going to write it down. And that's why he wrote the books. But what I'm saying here is that as a church, we're entering into the labors of those who have gone before us. So even we recognize that. Can you understand what I'm trying to say? Many other people, not just Kevin Connor, of course, I think Kevin Connor is one of the greatest influence, I would say, but many other people that this church has benefited from. You say amen? But what I'm trying to bring out to you is that there were people who went ahead of us. Now it's time for us to go ahead of those who are to be after us. You say amen to that? And that's what Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, Simeon, and Anna, they were part of an older move, but do you know that God was able to use them? And God was able to make way for the new, and they were able to birth forth the new. So may this be an encouragement. Let's not waste this Christmas season. And let us all the more stay in tune. I want to be like these four cases we looked at. There's four people, all right? How they were able to stay in tune when many others could not in their Christmas season. So what will we do in this Christmas season? Are we going to be like Anna? Are we going to be like a Simeon? Are we going to be like an Elizabeth? Or are we going to be like Mary? And Joseph, and many other more, and many others. Some of you mentioned the shepherds. I mean, the Pharisees didn't get to see the angels praising God. The angels, the shepherds did. Can you imagine that? So I want to be part of that company. How about you? Amen. Amen. So say with me, their age. Their alertness. Their assignment. There's three things here this morning for us in this Christmas. And I just want to sort of share that to help us to stay in line and in tune in this season. Don't look at your age. Let's stay alert in God. And remember that what we're doing is not just for ourselves, but it goes beyond that. But are we willing to be part of that? Or are we going to just say, oh, wait, someone else to do it? You know, it's not for me. You know, someone else can do that. No. Say, I want to be an Anna. Say with me. I want to be like one like Simeon. You know, I want to be like Caleb in the Old Testament, who says, Lord, give me this mountain. Even as old age, it was what, 80 what? Was it 80 or 84? 84 as well, right, wasn't he? If I remember right. So let's stand to our feet and let's pray. Let's conclude there. I hope that you can relate with the message this morning, and that it will really help us to stay focused and to keep our mind upon the Lord. Remember, when you're involved in your Christmas dinners and parties and outreaches, remember the focus, talk about the Lord. Let Him all constantly be upon our lips. Please do talk about other things. Make sure you just do ask the next person how he is and how she is. You can talk about other things. I'm not saying you're not allowed to talk about anything and have a nice time. I'm just saying, let's not get carried away. Heavenly Father, I thank you that in this Christmas season, there's such a great opportunity to declare the name of Jesus and to really say that Jesus is the reason for the season. And Father, as we say this, Lord, would you help us, Holy Spirit, to make that a reality in our own lives in this season for our own selves. That like Anna, we would give ourselves to you, serving in the temple day and night. And as she served in fasting and in prayer, even as we see Zechariah serving God in the temple as a priest, Lord, may we be like those who will be found in the house of the Lord, serving and worshiping and praying and connecting and waiting upon you constantly to be filled by your Spirit, so that we can be like Simeon, who had revelation revealed to him by the Spirit, and that he would begin to move and walk and go to the temple because it was moved to him, because it was revealed to him by the Spirit, so that we can by the Spirit say like Mary, let it be done according to your word. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you that we will not be distracted, that we will not be carried away. But Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we will be alert so that we can pick up the things that you're doing right here, right now, which going to make way for even greater things. We are part of something way bigger. And Lord God, I thank you that you have called each one of us, whether we're young, whether we're small, whether we're old, whether we're advanced of age, whether we're in the middle or anything in between, in Jesus' name. You have called us for this time to make a difference. And God, help us, Holy Spirit, to redeem the time. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.